بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Last week we had an introduction about what is Irfan about, what does it deal with. And if you remember, I said that there are things in this world that we do not see, there are things that we do not hear, and there are things that we do not understand. And the Islamic Irfan or mysticism is to teach us how to see these things, how to hear these things, and how to understand these things. Now, you probably have read these verses from the Quran very frequently, because it comes up in different places of the Quran. لَهُمْ قُلُوبٌ لَا يَفْقَهُونَ بِهَا وَلَهُمْ أَعْيُنٌ لَا يُبْصِرُونَ بِهَا وَلَهُمْ آذَانٌ لَا يَسْمَعُونَ بِهَا أُولَٰئِكَ كَالْأَنْعَامِ بَلْ هُمْ أَضَلُّ. They have hearts by which they do not understand. They have eyes by which they do not see. And they have ears by which they do not hear. They are like animals, and even worse. Now I ask you, animals have eyes and ears. Do they not see and hear? I mean, because there is a comparison here between animals and those type of human beings who do not see and do not understand. Now, but and do not hear. But animals, do they not see and hear? They do, isn't it? I mean, certainly they see, that's why they could walk. And certainly they could hear, because that's why when we shout at them, or when they hear a sound, they run away. What is it that Allah is making comparison with? Now, what we mentioned last week was that there is a machine inside human beings which has to translate what we see and what we hear into reality. What we see and what we hear are only at the surface. They are very superficial. The reality of those things that we see and we hear could only be understood by something which is inside us. Now, animals see and hear, but they do not have that machine to translate it for them. We also see and hear. Now, the kuffar, for example, they see and they hear. And if we tell them that you have eyes by which you do not see, they would laugh at us. They say, no, we see better than you do. We see things in more probably detailed and more artistic way than you might see. However, Quran says, yes, they see, but they don't see. Now, this enigma of having and not having, doing and not being, and not being, will come up, inshallah, in the course of these lessons, and you will become familiar with the mysteries of mysticism a little bit, of things being and not being, having and not having. Now, what the verse of the Quran wants to tell us is that, of course, you see and you hear, but you see and hear with your mind, with your eyes, which only gives you a sight of you. But you do not, you cannot translate, you don't have, well, you have the machine, the soul inside, but it doesn't work. It is not working, it is deaf, it is dumb, it is blind. This is what, of course, mysticism teaches us to do, to somehow ignite that machine which is inside us, to start working. And when it starts working, of course, then the world of mystic begins. And it's the beginning of the movement. Of course, mysticism has a beginning and has no end. Anyone saying that mysticism has an end is mistaken. There's no end for it. But it has a beginning. The beginning of it is when that machine starts to work, starts to operate. And then, of course, you will see the wonders of this world. So, there are two groups of people. One group whose soul work properly, and one group whose soul don't work properly, or don't work at all. And the former, we call them Urafa. Urafa is the plural of Arif. Arif means knower, someone who knows. And therefore, the other people would be Juhala, those who don't know, those who are not, who do not have the capability to know and to understand. So we have two groups of people. Last week we talked about a mention of these people, Urafa, the knowers, those who know, in Hadith. Can you remember any verse of the Quran referring to a group of people who are different from us? Of course, I'm not talking about prophets and a'imma. They are very special Urafa, okay? Now, ordinary people, not at the level of prophets and a'imma alayhi salam, can you remember any verse of the Quran talking about a special group of people having different understanding than that ordinary mu'minun? I'm not talking about kuffar. Ordinary mu'minun, they have of course an understanding of God, but there are some special people whose understanding is more, is deeper. Do we have a mention in the Quran of that? Can anyone remember any verse of the Quran referring to some people which are different, who are different from other mu'minun? Yeah, Muqarrabun, we mentioned last week that there are a group of people who are called Muqarrabun, those who are brought near. Now, of course, Muqarrabun means those who are brought near, but Allah is not far away, isn't he? He's very close. So in what sense they are brought near? In the sense that probably some veil which bars between ordinary people and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are taken away, they understand God better and deeper. That's why they are muqarrab. We call them muqarrab. And if you remember, well, this is what we discussed last week about the grouping of the people being of three kinds. Salihin. Which, now, if you remember, we said that the Muqarrabun are of four categories. Okay? Now, these four categories, it is mentioned here in Surah Nisa that وَمَنْ يُطِعِ اللَّهَ وَالرَّسُولَ فَأُولَٰئِكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ. Anyone obeying Prophet and Allah and Prophet, they will be with those upon whom Allah has bestowed favor. Now, apparently I've used a very bad color. It doesn't show here. I just wanted to highlight them. It means that it seems that I have actually obliterated. Now, some people have the favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What this favor is, it certainly is not wealth. It is certainly not strength in body. It is something else. Now, these groups who have favor, Allah says here, they are prophets, nabiyin. They are siddiqeen, the truthful. They are shuhada, the martyrs is the wrong translation. I'm sorry, I didn't change it. It's the witnesses. Shuhada, the witnesses. These three groups, of course, we cannot reach that level. It's very, very special. It's very, very special. So, those upon whom Allah has bestowed favor, who are muqarrabun, there is a very ending category here. Wasalihin. Salihin are those who deserve or those who have the capacity to be given this favor, this ni'mah. For example, about some prophets, Allah said, why we made them prophets? Because they were from Salihin. And then, of course, if someone is from Salihin, Allah would choose them to be Siddiq and then Nabi. It's only from these Salihin that Allah would choose the other three categories. And it's only from these two that Allah would choose in these categories, and from Siddiqeen that Allah would choose Nabiyeen. Okay? Now, for example, about Lut, Allah says, وَأَدْخَلْنَاهُ فِي رَحْمَةٍ. We made him enter into our mercy, which is the special mercy. إِنَّهُ مِنَ الصَّالِحِينَ. He was from Salihin. He deserved it. He was in this category. Now, this category of Salihin, of course, we reckon are those people who understand better than us, who see better than us, who hear better than us. Any other verse which explains who the Salihin are, any other verse you remember in from the Quran? Surah Anfal, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ إِذَا ذُكِرَ اللَّهِ وَجِلَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ. Have you heard this verse? The mu'minun are those who, when Allah is mentioned, their hearts tremble. Do we have anyone here who has this experience of when Allah is mentioned, his heart gets a type of trembling, and he changes attitude, or she changes attitude? Well, of course, if we have it, they are not going to reveal this secret anyhow. But it is not ordinary mu'minun who are like that. When Allah is mentioned, their heart trembles. Now, can anyone tell me how this happens? I mean, what type of qualities should a person have that when Allah is mentioned, Allah's name is mentioned, their heart trembles? I mean, when I mention something to you and you get scared, or you get happy, or you tremble, or whatever, what type of attitude you should have to get this type of feeling?
Burning
love you should have. Yes? Burning love?
When you have to have seen a lot.
You have to have an experience, isn't it? I mean, when, for example, I mentioned something very scary to you, you should have had some sort of idea or experience about it, and then you get scared, or you become, for example, moved. Something which you already know. Therefore, there are some mu'minun who know Allah, and that's why when you mention His name, they tremble, their hearts tremble. So these are different groups of mu'minun, isn't it? They are not ordinary mu'minun, of course. إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ إِذَا ذُكِرَ اللَّهُ وَجَلَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ. Now, what else do we have? Okay. Look at this verse. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خاشعون. Successful indeed are the believers who are humble in their prayers. This is not us, certainly. Not me, okay. I don't say us, because many of you might be like this. But this is not us. Those who, when they stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they feel that humbleness in their hearts. And khashi is someone who is broken. I mean, it's more than humbleness. It means that you experience something that breaks you down inside yourself. And the real mu'min, of course, this is a different type of mu'min than ordinary mu'minun. When they stand before Allah in salat, they break down. That is because of the experience that they have of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, can Allah be experienced at all? This is all what mysticism is about. Can Allah be experienced? Can we have a way to Him? Can we have a canal, a path to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Now, let's go higher. These slides are not in order very well, so I have to move like this. Now, look at this. This verse in Surah Ali Imran is, of course, one of the great, great verses of the Quran, which only people who have high knowledge can understand. شهد الله أنه لا إله إلا هو والملائكة وأولو العلم قائما للقسط لا إله إلا هو العزيز الحكيم. Allah bears witness that there is no God but He. It means Allah has a knowledge of His own Tawheed, isn't it? Now we have a knowledge of Tawheed, but could we compare our knowledge of Tawheed with Allah's knowledge of His own Tawheed? Of course not. He has a knowledge of his own Tawheed, and he witnesses that there is nothing but him. No God, no being beside him. And the angels, wal malaika, the angels witness that as well. God witnesses that, angels witness that. And some human beings. Who are these human beings? Wa ulul ilm, those who are possessed of knowledge. These are, of course, again. Now, this ulul ilm is another expression for arif, isn't it? For urafa. Those who have ma'rifa, those who have knowledge. They, of course, witness that tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, the concept of tawheed is a very, very, very difficult concept to grasp and understand if you want to think about it. It is not as simple as just saying there is no God beside Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is of course the simplest thing that we understand. But if you want to understand more and deeper, then of course we cannot do it by our intellect. We have to start and ignite that machine inside us, the soul. It's only that part of us that can grasp what is this Tawheed and what's the meaning of this verse. It's only that hard to understand. Of course, you have heard that the verses of the Quran have layers of depth, isn't it? Beneath each verse of the Quran are seven layers of depth, and beneath each of those layers are 70 layers of depth, and beneath each of those 70 layers are 700 layers of depth. Now, of course, we understand something from this verse. Ulul Ilm understands something much, much deeper from what is mentioned. It's the same thing, it's the same meaning, same concept, but understood in different things, different at different levels. Now, إِنَّمَا يَخْشَى اللَّهُ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْعُلَمَاءِ. Of course, this is the whole translation of the whole verse. The part of the verse that we are talking about, only those who are possessed of knowledge have khashya of Allah, fear Allah. Now, all of us fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a way or so, but we fear His punishment more than fearing Himself, isn't it? But there are some people who fear Him, not His punishment, whose hearts are filled with awe and a type of fear which we cannot explain. It's not fear of being punished by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's something else. Okay, these are just a few examples of how some people are different and they are mentioned in the Quran. And we cannot deny that. Anyone can think about any other verse or any other expression in the Quran. Ulul Albab, yes, Ulul Albab, those who have inner intellect. Lob is the inner intellect, Ulul Albab. Now, what about Awliyaullah, the friends of God? Ala inna Awliya Allah la khawfun alayhim wa la hum yahzanun. Awliyaullah, the friends of God, they neither grow sad nor they fear anything beside Allah. So, this is again a group of people who are different from us. How someone would become a friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or connected to Allah very closely, according to how we translate the word wali. Now there is one other verse in Surah Nahl. Of course, I forgot to put it here. It says, "Man amila salihan min dhakarin aw unta, wa huwa mu'min, falanuhyannahu hayatan tayyibah." Whoever is a mu'min at the beginning, like us, inshallah, and does good. Now, amila salihan, so that they become from salihin, isn't it? Whoever which acts a salih action, a good action, would become from salihin, okay? It says, whoever does that, whoever becomes from salihin, man amila salihan min dhakarin aw untha, wa huwa mu'min. If a mu'min does that, فَلَنُحْيَنَّهُ حَيَاةً طَيِّبَةً, we will give them a different type of life, which is called حَيَاةٌ طَيِّبَةً, a clean and pure life. طَيِّبَةً, because it is clean and pure from the filth of this world. They get aloof from it. They live in this world, but they do not live in the filth of this world. They somehow transcend the worldly issues which other people are infected with. فَلَنُحْيَنَّهُ حَيَاةً طَيِّبَةً. And this الْحَيَاةُ الطَيِّبَةُ is of course what the mystics are after. They want to acquire it, they want to find it. Okay. I think this introduction would suffice as an introduction to tell us what mystics are after, what they want, and why they put themselves in lots of hardships, lots of training, mortification, and all these things to find a glimpse, an experience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which of course whose love has been put in their hearts, and that's why they are dragged towards Him. Now, these about Awliya Allah I discussed last week, and Ahlul Zikr, of course, very quickly. Now, let's start our course now properly. And deal with some terminology. What I mentioned up till now was just an introduction to, as I said, get a glimpse what Irfan is about. What we are actually going to search in the course of these sessions. Now, we have different terms here. Irfan, it comes from ma'rifah. Ma'rifah is knowledge and understanding. This is what this type of practice and knowledge is called, irfan, which means possessing ma'rifah. Of course, ma'rifah, we will discuss what the difference of ma'rifah and ilm in the ordinary sense, although in religious term and in Quranic term, ilm and ma'rifah are used synonymously. There is no knowledge or ilm but this ma'rifah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They usually call the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, someone who has a knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, having ma'rifah. And someone who has knowledge about the worldly matters, having ilm rather than ma'rifah. Okay? So that's why we call them irfan, and someone who possesses this ma'rifah is called arif, and the plural is urafa. It's also called Sufism. Now, why it's called Sufism is really perplexing. And there are many, many theories why these group of people who usually go after such practices, such knowledge, they are called Sufis. Now, the term Sufiyya, meaning practicing Sufi practice, was first used by Jahiz in 255 after Hijrah, in the 3rd century. But the very attributes given to people calling someone Sufi goes back to the 2nd century. And the first person who was called Sufi was Abu Hashim al-Kufi. I think this font is very small, isn't it? Or it's okay? It's okay. Maybe for my eyes. Small, it is small, so I have to use bigger fonts, inshallah, from next week. Now, I think the best explanation why these urafayat. I think it would be better. Yeah, I think it's now going to interrupt some of the shootings. Yeah, let's move. Okay.
And the focus.
Yeah. Some people say it comes from the Latin term sophia, meaning knowledge, and philosophia, of course, is the same thing, but I don't think so. The best explanation is that because these people were wearing a special type of woolen rough clothes, and it was called suf, and that's why someone who actually entered the circle and wore those clothes, he was called Sufi, and then Sufiya, and Tasawwuf, and Sufism. However, Sufism is a term which is not very much favored by especially Shia scholars and Sunni scholars, because usually the early Muslim mystics, many of them, they borrowed concepts and practices from Sufis of other religions and other faiths, or even the faith which the Hindus, for example, who were not monotheists. And because these practices came up, and some of them left the Sharia altogether, and that's why the term Sufi and Sufiya became a type of attribute which was not very much favored by religious people. So even today, if you say Sufiya or Tasawwuf, it is something which you can find in many Shia scholars' books, lots of bad things about it. And especially they report even some hadith about it, that the A'imma were against Tasawwuf or Sufi. And then they say, therefore, the A'imma were against mysticism. However, we have to distinguish between right practice, wrong practice, right intention, wrong intention. However, Sufism is another term which is used for Arfan, and we can use them interchangeably. Another term used is mysticism, of course, which we have used here. This is from mystery. Usually Christian Arfan use mysticism, because this actually deals with mystery. And you know, Christian faith is shrouded with mystery, especially the idea of taqlid, because no one knows what it means. And they favor this because they say the whole faith and the whole understanding of God is a mystery. However, we use it, of course, because of a different reason. There is no doubt about Tawheed and the very tidy concept which everyone could understand, of course, at different levels, but the more you go into that world of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the more wonders you see, and the more mysterious it becomes. And therefore, it is the right term to use, mysticism, something which mystifies. When you encounter that dignity and greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you are mystified. So that's why they use mysticism, of course, which is to do with bewilderment and mystification. And another term which comes from ancient Greece, Gnosticism, from Gnosis, which is to do with knowledge. And I think if we want to be exacts. We better use term Gnosticism for Islamic Irfan, because Islamic Irfan deals with ma'rifah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, knowledge. And of course, knowledge and love. Now, we will discuss this later on. Some mystics in Islam, they emphasize on ma'rifah, like Ibn al-Arabi. And some mystics emphasize on love, like Rumi, for example. And of course, these two go hand in hand with each other. Because the more you find ma'rifah of Allah, the more you find that love in your heart. And the more you have love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala means the more ma'rifah you have for Him. If you do not love Him because you do not know Him, you usually get to like people or love people after you know some characteristics of them, at least. Some features of them. Otherwise, I mean, out of blue, you cannot fall in love. And those people who fall in love with God means that they know some features, if He has any features. Now, of course, using terms here is very difficult. If He has any features, or if you could use it metaphorically, they know some features of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala which makes them to love Him. So love and ma'rifah go hand in hand. And the best expression for Islamic Irfan is Gnosticism. However, I like mysticism because this is a mysterious world. When you enter this world of ma'rifah, you become mystified, you become bewildered. And anyhow, it's up to the taste of the ones who use it. Okay, now, when we say knowledge, what type of knowledge do we mean? Of course, we have different types of knowledge. Usually the philosophers and the mystics, they categorize knowledge into two types. A knowledge that you acquire. Now, it could be acquired by reasoning, it could be acquired through your senses. And this is called ilmul husuli. Husul means to acquire. Okay, what you acquire from outside. And you get concepts and you analyze those concepts. Of course, the concepts which are with you, of course, they are not acquired, they are with you. However, you acquire what corresponds to those concepts from outside you. So, this is one type of knowledge. The other type of knowledge they call knowledge with presence, ilm al-huzur. It means you don't get a concept, you don't need any means to acquire it. It is with you, it is inside your soul. Now, mysticism is defined as the urge to reach out to the infinite by ilm al-huzur. Now, of course, I think I'm rushing forward because these are two very difficult concepts to grasp. However, do any of you have any knowledge of any ilm al-huzur inside themselves? Yeah.
Yes, ourselves.
Your own self. Okay, anything else? Because this is very difficult, because some of us don't know ourselves. Don't know that ourselves exists at all. Some of us really don't know that self exists. We are ignorant of that. But that's true. That's the most important ilm al-huduri that we have. Anything else? Apart from the self itself.
Can I ask a question for are we saying that this is the kind of knowledge that you have not acquired, but it's just instinctively inbuilt?
Not instinctively, actually. What the soul, what that faculty of knowledge has it with itself without the need of reaching out to somebody else? It is created inside it. And that knowledge comes from within it. It doesn't he doesn't acquire it from outside. Anything? Love? Hunger?
What about the awareness of Allah? Maybe not the knowledge of Allah, that within us is that instinct that there is a higher being.
Okay, but that's very vague. Yeah. Yeah, that's of course very vague. Okay. No one can know Allah by al-Husuli. It's impossible. Okay? It's a vague idea that we have from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inside us. But very simple example is hunger. When you feel hunger, I mean, your soul feels this. I say your soul, that faculty which understands and realizes, have knowledge of this. It comes from within. Anxiety, isn't it? It is something that you experience it from very inside yourself. Of course, there is a cause for it, okay? But that cause is not what that feeling is. Now, when I look at this, for example, there is a picture of this, an image of this in my mind, okay? Now, that image is because of this, okay? Although even that image is present in my mind, but it's acquired because of this, okay? However, if this makes me anxious, although it's because of this, but that anxiety comes from something else, from somewhere, from inside my soul, by invoking other concepts or stuff. Now, the knowledge which is with present is something which you totally actually grasp it. There's no missing of it. When you feel hunger, you really feel hunger. It might be false hunger, but you feel something which is very, very real. And that's why it drives you. Or pain, when you feel pain. This feeling comes from ilmul huduri inside you. However, if you want to know how this computer is built, you need ilmul husuli. You cannot concentrate and feel that how this computer is made. You cannot do it. It's impossible. Well, for some people it's possible, but for ordinary people it's quite impossible. Okay?
Can I ask
you to interrupt? Yeah.
Would it be correct to say that not everybody would have the same knowledge of presence?
Yeah, of course. That's what mystics are after. They want this knowledge with presence. Of course.
No, without, I mean, there's certain, obviously, without development, say for example, nobody's made an effort to develop this.
We have this knowledge with presence with regards to some of our feelings.
Yeah, basic.
Basic feelings.
But not everybody would have the same.
But not other things. When it comes to outside us, then we don't have that knowledge. We have to acquire it.
The original person who has acquired knowledge, you must have been somebody with ilm al-huzuri who has then passed it on. To then become
in the usuli. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Well, usually knowledge, you are talking about inventions and such things, isn't it?
Generally, you cannot have acquired before there is an origin.
Before there is actually a poem, a line attributed to Amir al-Mu'mineen, which says, there is no knowledge, no husuli knowledge, masmu. It says the knowledge is either masmu or masmu. And there is no masmu knowledge, what you heard, unless prior to it there is a masmu, there is an inner knowledge, a little husuli. I have forgotten the poetry itself at the moment. Al-ilmu ilman, masbu'un wa masmu, wala يُمْكِنُ مَحْبُوْ إِذَا لَمْ يَكُوْ مَحْبُوْ Something like this. It's not, I know that I make a mistake in some places. But however, it is important to know that when, for example, your body moves towards an attitude which instigates hunger, your soul instantly, spontaneously, without exerting any effort, would feel that hunger. That's ilmul khudur. But you never can do it with something which is outside you. You never can try, concentrate and feel that how this computer is named or what is it. You cannot. It's impossible. So, ilm al-husuli usually for us is what is outside us, and khuzuri is what's inside us. Now, can we somehow bring this inside? To know. If you can do that, you can know God. Because you cannot know God through ilm al-husuli. It's impossible. You just get a feeling and awareness. You just look at the sky and say, this should have a creator. Okay, that's all. But how you want to find out who that creator is? Can you concentrate, look at the sky and find out who that creator is? You can't do it at this stage, but inshallah at the end of this course you could do it. If you practice. I don't practice. If you practice, inshallah you could do it. Okay. Now, these two types of knowledge are in the field of philosophy. Ilm al-husuli is understood by aql, which is theoretical intellect.
Is the word initially
equal to get the slides later? Right, everything? Yeah, inshallah, I will give you the slides later on. There was a suggestion that I give the whole slides to you before, I mean, at the beginning of the course. However, unfortunately, I haven't built all these slides yet. I have to build them. And therefore, inshallah, before every lesson, I would email these to Brother Sharif, and he would email it to you. It is a bit cumbersome for you, but I think there is no other choice. Now, let's look at this. We have, of course, aql, which is called theoretical intellect, by which we reason, we understand, we argue, okay. These arguments, reasoning, and analyzing, it gives rise to ilm, which is knowledge, of course. And then that gives rise to philosophy, in our, of course, with respect to our discussion, or science or philosophy. The subject matter is different, but the type of argument and reasoning is the same. So, theoretical intellect gives rise to ilm, which gives the philosophy and science. Now, with ilm al-khuzuli, we call it the type of basir, insight. This is what Quran wants from us, to have insight and basir. لَهُمْ أَعْيُنٌ لَا يُبْصِرُونَ بَهَا. They have eyes but they don't see. They don't have basir. This gives rise to ma'rifah. And ma'rifah, of course, creates irfan. We are dealing here with a different type of knowledge. Not a knowledge which comes from analysis or argument or reasoning, something like that. It is a knowledge which comes from insight. Now, of course, we'll deal about this later on. It might seem a bit vague at the moment, but inshallah, during the session, we will discuss it further. Now, if we want to make a difference between ilm and ma'rifah, as I said, in religious text, L is used synonymous to ma'rifah, the same thing. But for us, just to make a difference between these two types of knowledge, L aims at understanding a rock. It is limited to the realm of time and space. It uses intellect and thought. And to understand things, you have to delimit them. You have to categorize them, isn't it? Every knowledge and science at the beginning, in the first step, they categorize things. They define things. When you define something, you limit it. And that's why in Arabic, definition means limitation, isn't it? Had. Definition of things are had or hudud. Hudud are actually definitions, and it is limitations. Because if you want to define it, you have to limit it. You have to say, for example, this is haywanun natiq, okay? You have put two limits on it. So, all these with limitation. That's how we can define it. Now, what about ma'rifah? It doesn't aim at understanding, rather it aims at arriving, because it is ilmul huduri, you have to arrive at it. You arrive at hunger. You don't try to understand hunger, to analyze, you just feel it, you arrive at it. Okay? It is beyond time and space. It uses insight and self-purification, and it removes limitations. In fact, to know things, you have to put them in relation with each other and take their limitations by this type of understanding, the insight. It's, of course, this one, it uses intellect and thought. This uses insight and purification. That's how that machine, which is rusty, is polished, the soul. Purification is actually to polish the soul, so that it starts working. It is rusty, it does not work, you have to set it on work to start it, and it would start after you have started purification. And of course, okay, we leave this for next week, because this is going to be a bit long. What the mystic is about is to arrive at God, not to define God. Defining God is limited. And this is why in Nahjul Balagha we have, whoever has defined God has limited. You cannot define him. You only can arrive at him. And arriving at him, of course, has a very long story, because when mystics say, when you arrive at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then that's the beginning of the way to move into world of wonders and other things. And inshallah we'll continue with this next week. Is there any question or comment? Okay, thank you very much.